Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. U.S. lawmakers urged President Barack Obama to press Japan's prime minister when they meet today to resist calls from the Japanese business community to devalue the yen as a way of boosting exports and stimulating the economy. Japan's economy shrank 3.3% in the last 3 months of 2008, its biggest contraction in about 35 years, as exports slumped on vanishing global demand. Europe and Asia joined Wall Street's sell-off this morning, sending world stocks to their lowest level since April of 2003. Yesterday, Wall Street hit a 12-year low as investors grew nervous that Washington's possible plan to increase its stake in Citigroup and other various bailout packages might not be enough to tackle the global financial crisis. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 71.88. It's up 74.15. The Nasdaq at 14.11 is up 23.35. And the S&P 500 is at 753, and it's up 10.25 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on March 10th for the 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook Meeting. Full details are on our website at willag.org. And thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting, the Andersons, DTN, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities. Joining us now with a look at the day's agricultural weather is our very own AM 580's Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. And once again, we're going to start out our conversation or talk about the weather in South America, where Argentina saw no rain yesterday, at least not in the summer crop areas. High temperatures mostly in the 70s or 80s. It does look like they will see some precipitation over the weekend, but scattered in nature. And the best opportunity for a generalized rainfall will hold off until Sunday into Tuesday, at which time nearly three-quarters of Argentina's crop area will get precipitation. It will be well-timed and supportive of summer crop development. A little relief to the dryness and crop stress should also be reached into the drier areas of La Pampa and Buenos Aires, although additional rainfall will still be needed there. A few follow-up showers possible towards the end of the first week of March, and the next generalized rainfall is expected, according to computer models, around the 8th or the 9th of March. If precipitation does occur, as the computer models are suggesting, over the next 2 weeks, crop stress will not get much worse than it has been in La Pampa or the southern two-thirds of Buenos Aires. New production loss potential should be limited to the most immature and crops in unirrigated fields, and late-season double-crop soybeans in Buenos Aires do have the most potential potential production left to lose. As far as Brazil, most of the nation will get rain at one time or another, in the far northeast seeing net drying conditions over a large period of the coming week. Some heavy rain is expected in the interior south, and that could result in some local flooding. No harm is expected to come to summer crop there. Rain frequency low enough in the north, especially northeast, to promote the early season crop maturation and the harvest progress. Now, I haven't discussed too much South America or South Africa's weather, but it does look like they have some scattered showers and thunderstorms occurring in the nation's summer crop region. They have over the last couple days and into early today, rainfall reaching over 2 inches along the central Limpopo border. where most areas reported no more than a half inch of rainfall. Many locations received less than a quarter inch of rain, resulting in some net drying. Another week to 10 days of frequent showers and thunderstorms are expected for all of South Africa. Daily rain amounts will vary widely from just a few hundredths of an inch to more than an inch in some areas. Many locations picking up less than two-thirds of an inch each day. The situation does favor the summer crop development in all areas. As far as the U.S. weather, the precipitation has shifted northward in our western states, and although February's precipitation has slightly improved California's water supply, state's reservoir storage is still only at 62% of historical average. Then the plains, unusually warm weather prevails across most areas. A few rain showers are dampening eastern Kansas today, and that precipitation moving into Missouri and northern Arkansas right now. High temperatures back into the 80s across parts of Texas, and the winter wheat there is in very poor condition, or at least more than half of the rated crop areas there with very poor conditions. And the Corn Belt, chilly conditions across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt. Milder weather is expanding across the snow-covered upper Midwest, and we do have a couple days of mild temperatures ahead of us before a return of cooler conditions for this weekend. In the south, cool weather limiting the growth of winter grains. Florida's citrus belt remains very dry and reliant on irrigation to reduce the stress on trees there. Over the next 6 to 10 days, it does look like the outlook calls for below normal temperatures in the southern Atlantic region and the northwest, while warmer than normal conditions are expected in south central and southwestern U.S. Below normal precipitation from the southern plains all the way across into eastern Florida. And it does look like that will contrast with the wetter than normal weather in Northern California, the Northwest, and areas around the Great Lakes into the Northeast. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
In the Monday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 547.5, down 3/4, last trade down 1.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 509, down 1.5, last trade down 3.75. July, 532.75, down 3/4, last trade down 3.5. March corn opened at 350.5, down 1.25, last trade down 3.25. July, 369.25, down 1.5, last trade down 3.75. December, 390, down 1.5, last trade down 3.5. March beans opened at 870.25, down 2.5, last trade down 5.75. July, 879.75, down 2.5, last trade down 5.5. November, 837.5, down 2.5, last trade down 6.25. March soybean meal opened at 275.50, down 80, last trade down 330. March soybean oil opened at 30.12, down 19, last trade down 29. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
How preoccupied will traders be with the Dow today?
Pretty occupied with the outside markets, which would be the Dow and the dollar and the energies. And right now the Dow is up a little bit. I don't know if that'll help much or not, but Dow's up. The Dow index is up 40 points. Don't know. The Dow itself hasn't started yet where they actually trade the Dow.
Well, we have Bernanke talking today. We have the president talking tonight. If traders don't like what they hear in either of those messages, could we see a Dow south of 7,000 tomorrow?
Yeah, that could happen, yes. That could very easily happen.
So if we do see that, what does it imply for grain prices? What's it worth?
Not good. Not good at all. That's the outside markets, all of that has helped push grains lower. And if they continue to go lower, that will continue to keep a lid on grain prices.
Could you see a 15 to 20 cent break in corn prices?
I think we could the rest of the week easily.
The other thing we picked up overnight was that China started some origin switching. We're hearing that they're moving 4 or 6 cargoes from the U.S. to Brazil.
Yeah, and that could hurt us also. It's just economic news from all over the world pushing it lower, people waiting to buy it cheaper, whatever their needs are, and that helps continue to push things lower.
Well, do you think that all the money that's sitting on the sideline sidelines when they eventually go back into the markets will go back into commodities, and might those commodities include the grains?
I think that will happen because they have more faith in something that's real that you can physically store and use later than a piece of paper of a company that they don't know whether it'll survive or not.
So what is your calls then for the Board of Trade today?
Calls today are corn 2-4 lower, soybeans 5-7 lower, wheat 2-4 lower. Over in the livestock, we've got cattle calling 10-30 lower, and hogs 20-40 lower.
When do cattle begin to make a sharp up move? I'm hearing some of our analysts saying they're pretty bullish cattle.
Well, long term, everybody's bullish cattle, but short term, you got to find out when the economy turns. You can't store cattle very long like you can grains, and as a result of that, it has to go down until we find the economy turning. Otherwise, we just aren't going to go very far on a bounce.
All right, Pete, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Pete Manhart. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We have a listener comment line. Give us a call at area code 217-333-0853 and tell us what you think about our agricultural offerings. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. The time now is 9:01 Central Time.